Open with me in your copy of God's Word to Romans 12. We continue in Paul's letter to the Romans, and we've gotten this challenge from Paul that because of the mercies of God, we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, ones that are holy and acceptable to God. And I can't help but think of Malachi 1:8, where it talks about offering animals that are crippled and diseased, and God says, try offering those to your governor and see how it pleases him. Therefore, we are to offer our bodies to God because of his great mercy in which he has saved us. It is reasonable, it's logical, and it's even spiritual. And Romans 12, as we said, is the application to how we are to live, how we are to live as living sacrifices to Almighty God because he has saved us. We're not to be conformed to this world. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. By being a Christian, it is going to affect the way you think, because a transformed child of God will think differently than that of the world. Paul urges us, as we talked about last week, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. And I propose to you that sober thinking is actually a gift from God. Today we're going to look at characteristics of what this transformed life looks like. All of us are members of the body of Christ, and each one of us has differing gifts. We are to use those gifts as a way that brings glory to the Father, to build up the church. And the greatest gift, the gift of grace and salvation, has been given to every believer. And the greatest of these gifts is one that any could receive, the gift of salvation. And if you are in Christ Jesus, you have received grace and salvation and other gifts. And we're obviously to use them in the proportion of our faith to help build up the body. Now Paul is going to turn to some basic behavior principles that Christians are to live by. They are going to be like quick bullet points for the Church of Rome, and for also us today. It was interesting. I was talking to someone this past week, and they told me that when Paul wrote these words, that they're timeless. We use them still, even, you know, almost 2,000 years after they've been penned. And if you imagine just for a moment, if the Lord were to tarry and wait, how someone 100 years from now or 200 years from now might come across your life, how they might, you know, come across a letter written by you and find out how it affected you and how it affected others around you. Because most people 100 to 200 years from now might have no idea who you and I are or were. But we can make a lasting impact for Christ that will ripple out throughout eternity. Well, today let's read Romans 9. And we're only going to read two verses, Romans 9, 10 and 11. Romans 12, 9, 10 and 11. Romans 12, picking up at verse 9, says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Through verses 9 through 21, we're given some list of 23 code of ethics for Christians in 12 verses. It's kind of like when you get a new employee's handbook for a new job. It's good to look at, and today we're going to look at 11 of them. In verse 9, we get the first three codes of conduct, and it's blank. How are we doing, guys? Perfect. Thank you. Excellent. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor or hate what is evil, and cling to what is good. Of course, the greatest of them will be love. Let love be without hypocrisy. Here, Paul, he uses the Greek form of agape love in verse 9, and in verse 10, he's going to use phileo, brotherly love. Let love be without dissimulation, is the KJV rendering. Let it be genuine. Let love be sincere. Don't pretend. People can see right through a fake. To dissimulate is to hide under false appearances. Let love be without dissimulation. Don't be fake. Don't be counterfeit. Don't have some hidden agenda. There was a dear lady at a church that we went to, and when she was displeased or we thought that she was angry, she would smile, she would remain calm, and she was agreeable. But deep down, I think you could tell that through that kind of soft smile and quiet voice that she was angry. Usually she had clenched teeth, and she kind of got very quiet and smiled with a whisper of a voice. Now, I'm not saying she wasn't genuine, but what I'm saying is don't be a hypocrite. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy, because God's love is so genuine. Paul, in chapter 13, he's going to tell us, owe no one anything except to love one another. He who loves has fulfilled the law. And that's big. If you love, you have fulfilled the law, Paul says. And if anyone wants to preach that sermon, see me after. You're welcome to it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. At the heart of the gospel is love. For God so loved the world, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Let love be without hypocrisy. In the same breath and sentence saying, let your love be genuine, Paul gives us true replacement theology. Now, no, not that that the church has replaced Israel, but we are to hate what is evil and to cling to what is good. Get rid of evil. Hate it. Cling to what is good. And these are commands. Do you know that we're commanded to hate? Hating is evil. But let me ask, do you detest what is evil? Because nowadays it seems that if you disagree with someone, the world is going to say that you're hateful, you're a bigot, you're racist. And you want to know what's really hateful? What's really hateful is lying to someone, calling someone a woman when they're really a man. It's never good to lie to someone. It's not good to affirm sin. Now, people have value, absolutely. Jesus died for sinners. We are to love without hypocrisy. We are to offer God's mercy to all, but we are not to affirm sin. What we should do is admit that we too are sinners. We are no better. It's only by God's grace that we are saved. So we in this world, we will have good and evil. The cosmic battle that we're talking about on Sunday nights. What is truth? Those who follow lies and don't love the truth are not saved. The world is being corrupted by deceitful desires. We're to love without hypocrisy. We are to hate what is evil, and we are to cling to what is good. If you notice, Paul doesn't just say, well, just love one another. or love is love. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Don't be fake. Because this world is full of fakes, imitations, and false, bogus counterfeits. Don't let your love be fake. As a Christian, the main characteristic that needs to be developed is that of love. Let your love be genuine. Hate evil and to cling to what is good. The word cling to what is good, in the KJV, it's to cleave. It's the same word that Jesus uses in Matthew 19:5, where he says, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. So just as a man clings and cleaves to his wife and becomes one flesh, we are to hate evil and to cling to what is good. We are to cling to Christ. As members of the body of Christ, we are to care for one another. We are to genuinely love one another. We are to cling to what is good. Verse 10 will show us how not to be hypocritical. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. And so the next two characteristics of living a godly life is brotherly love and honor. Here we see two principles, two commands. Be kind with brotherly phileo love and honor one another above yourself. Driving up 131 often, I'm so amazed when I see construction signs that say, take turns when you're merging into traffic. This is so amazing to me that this is what the world has come to. We have to be told to take turns, even with construction signs. To love one another with brotherly love, to honor one another. This is contrary to the nature of the world where self wants to be numero uno. I'm going to take care of number one. And remember, Paul just told us that we are all part of Christ's body, the church. Ephesians 5:29 says, no one ever hated his own body. Instead, he feeds and takes care of it as Christ takes care of the church. The Bible is actually against self-harm. We talked not that long ago about Elisha and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18 when they slashed themselves with spears. And in Leviticus, it talks about not cutting yourself for the dead or putting on tattoos. God expects that we love ourselves. We are to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves. God knows that we love ourselves. That's usually not the problem. But evil thinking can creep in, and it can try to take you captive. We are to be kind to others, and we are to be kind to ourselves. In verse 10 in the RSV, it says, in regards to others, it says, outdo one another, showing honor. We are to try to outdo one another in showing honor. Not just to promote self, but to honor one another. We have such a great love and affection for one another, we should try to outdo one another with that love and that honor. There's a great parable that Jesus tells in Luke 14 where there's a feast being held and everyone picked the best seats. He tells them that if you're invited to a wedding feast, do not sit at the best place, lest someone more honorable than you be invited, and then you get embarrassed and have to give up your seat. Because in God's kingdom, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, the next statement I'm going to make is not in the text, but I believe it can be gleaned from it. And then as you will be characterized by your actions, and you will be judged by your works. The world is watching how you and I react to certain things. You will be characterized by your actions, and you will be judged by your works. We are saved by grace through faith, but the deeds that you and I do, we will be judged by them. The works that you do will show the evidence of your faith, and genuine faith and love will naturally result in that of good works. You will love your neighbor, and you will hate what is evil. You will cling to what is good. These are natural reactions to a changed, transformed life. And the way that Paul is telling them, they are commands. God has saved you not just to go to heaven. You were saved in order to do stuff. If you've been saved by the mercies of God, he calls you to action. Jesus said that they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, John 13:35. In John 15:12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." We are to love as Jesus loved. He loved even unto death. He sacrificed his own life so that you and I might be free. The greatest love, Jesus said, was to lay down one's own life. You can see in 1 John 4:19, he says that we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. If we don't love the church, if you don't love God's people, one has to wonder if you are saved at all. One of the tests of being an actual believer is if you can have a love for God's people. And that might sound harsh, but it's true. Most of you, however, are quite lovable, so thank you. We are to be kindly affectionate to one another. In brotherly love, we are to be devoted to one another. We are to show honor and love to one another, esteeming one another. If you're an extrovert not a gushy-feely, maybe you're not a hugger, that's okay. God can still use you. Even if it's not in your nature, it's okay. When you are saved, God makes all things new. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. We are to cultivate these Romans 12 attributes. Learn how to love better. Learn how to be more patient. Learn how to be more kind. How to show affection with brotherly love. Give honor and preference to one another, Paul tells us. You can learn to cultivate these characteristics. But it all starts with a changed mindset. Offering your bodies, and particularly offering your mind to Jesus. You're going to be characterized by your actions, and you're going to be judged by your works. We are to honor one another. We are to treat others with genuine concern and respect. And I want to give you a practical way that I'm actually working on. If someone is talking to you, if someone's talking to me, listen. Listen to them. I know it's simple, but if someone is talking to you, listen to them. I might turn my head so I can hear you better. I might look straight at you. At least I'm going to try. Listen to people and express gratitude to others. Acknowledge others when they do something. One of the Ten Commandments is honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. In the next chapter, Paul is going to talk about honoring people in leadership and those in authority over you. Outdo one another in showing honor, not in false humility, but in true encouragement and gratitude. Lift one another up with praise. Encourage one another. Esteem others. Think others as more highly than you think of yourself. And with that, I believe it's implied, avoid sarcasm. Instead, show honor. Be kindly affectionate to one another as true brothers and sisters. Show honor to one another. Verse 11 is going to give us three more principles right from the text. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. Not lagging in diligence. Don't be lazy or slothful, but be fervent in spirit. Have zealous spirituality in serving the Lord. Diligence, it can mean speedy. The Greek is spode. The word can mean haste. The old French word meaning urgency. And twice the KJV translated this word into haste. Once was with Herodias in Mark 6 after dancing and pleasing Herod. She goes and asks her mom what to ask for. Immediately she came in with haste, spode, and asked for the head of John the baptizer. Diligence. Don't lack it. Keep your word. If you promise to do something, then do it. If you say you're going to do something, then do it and do it unto the Lord. Not begrudgingly, but joyfully. Cultivate some of that long-suffering. Long-suffering is the translation for patience. What is being fervent in spirit? Well, it doesn't mean being a hothead or getting mad easily. But be enthusiastic. Be filled with God's Spirit. Have a burning passion as unto the Lord. Fervency, a hot, burning, intense, sincerely felt spirit. If you have a job, don't be lazy in your job. Do your work as working unto the Lord. If you're going to do something, do it well. When you plan to do something, you dedicate the time to do the work. When you set goals and you stay focused and you do a good job, when you are fervent in spirit, you honor the Lord. I have an old friend, he used to say, now you're cooking with gasoline. Revelation 3:16 gives warning to the church in Laodicea. Jesus says, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus would rather have you be hot or cold for him. He says, if you are lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. I know it's graphic, I'm sorry, but that's what the word says. Don't be complacent. Get your hitch in your giddy up. Get some pep in your step. It's okay to be passionate, to be on fire for the Lord. This is inward and outward. Oftentimes our actions will be a result of what is on the inside. Your behavior reflects what is driving you. Your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions, your cognitive processes. Have passion in your spirit. Serve the Lord. Do it with your heart, your whole heart, not haphazardly. The question is often asked, well, how can I serve the Lord? You serve the Lord by loving his body. Prayer. If you can't think of anything to pray, then pray for me. I need it. Come to church with an attitude that is wanting to fellowship and worship with others. We talked about last week about serving God with your spiritual gifts. Use your gifts to serve the body. Consecrate your body unto the Lord by offering your body as a living sacrifice. We are to serve the Lord. Be passionate. Be diligent. Be fervent in spirit. We are to serve. Another set of three. In verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We are to rejoice in hope. 1 Corinthians 13, right? Faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. Faith and hope, they are still really important. We're told in Romans 5:5 that hope doesn't disappoint because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have hope. As Christians, we are to be the most loving, the most hopeful people group around. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Have faith and hope. Hope, the evidence, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, a confident assurance and conviction of what will happen. Rejoice in hope. Rejoice that this is not all there is. There's a mansion for me just over the hilltop in glory, right? I just want an apartment. It doesn't have to be a mansion. But when bad things happen, just shake your head and say Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Joyfully rejoice. Delight in God's grace. Do it again and again. Just put it on auto repeat. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Endure affliction. You don't get that in most mainline churches today. Being patient in tribulation, enduring affliction. We get upset if we have to wait at a fast food restaurant for more than just a few moments. If you have a computer and you get that blue circle of death, that spirally thing, or you turn it on and it says updating, how upset do you get? Rejoice. There won't be a need for computers in heaven. Think about that for a moment. When we get to heaven, no sales tax, no property taxes, no government shutdowns, no worries, no more death. Christian, you can rejoice that there is a future, that there is a hope. You can suffer now. You can suffer through tribulation because Jesus has overcome. We are to be steadfast. We are to have encouragement. We are to be steadfast in prayer. Prayer. The communication that we have with God. What such great privilege we have. We have God the Son and God the Holy Spirit praying for us. We are to pray without ceasing. And oh, how we lack the simple gift of prayer. If you're here today, your life and mine needs to be characterized by these attributes. These are commands: love, hate evil, cling to what is good, show brotherly love, honor one another, be diligent, be fervent, service, hope, patience, prayer. These are rules, they're guidelines, they're even commands, as I've said. Ways for you to show you what you and I are to be like as we offer our bodies as living sacrifices before God. These are principles of how to live as a follower in Jesus. Are you going to keep them perfectly? Of course not. But if you live these, if you commit your life to the Lord, if you present your body as a living sacrifice, man, boy, look out. Your life will be different. It will show these attributes and these traits. And if you're here today and you are a Christian, is there something that needs to be improved in your life? Because I'm sure if we're honestly took inventory, we're going to find that there's something. There's something that's lacking. There's something that you and I need to improve on. And if you're married and you need help, just ask your spouse, is there one thing that I can do better? Now, spouse, they asked for one. They didn't ask for a litany of complaints. They asked for one. And if you're here and you haven't committed to following Jesus, to committing your life to Him, I would beg of you, consider Christ. Cling to Him. Only Christ can save. He is able. Admit that you are a sinner. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. Then live for Him. Present your body and your mind as a living sacrifice unto God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As we close, I want to direct you to verse 21 of Romans 13. It says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." This is God's word, and I say thanks be to God for it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the book of Romans and that there is so much in how we are to live. Lord, I ask that you would help us. Help us to be a people of love. A love without hypocrisy. Help us not to be overcome by evil. Help us to hate evil and to cling to what is good. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and for your kindness. Help us to apply these words that we've read to our lives, to live them out. Lord, would you go before us? Help us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for all that you have done and for what you will do. We pray these things in Jesus' name.